This weekend, I had my 50th high school reunion. I got several of my old cronies here. They show up again probably like the cicada do every so often. It's good to see you. I hope I don't bore you to tears today. That's one of the things we should pray for the message, because if for no reason you ought to have a selfish prayer, say, Lord, please don't let him bore me to tears. So let's pray. Lord, I ask that you would speak to us today through the encounter that Herod had with the wise men and the kingdoms that we all have in terms of our lives and how these things relate to us. And I ask that you would bless us as we gather together in Jesus' name. Amen. You have a number of scriptures in your bulletin. I would like for us to read Matthew chapter 2, verse 1 together. Here we go. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem saying, this is really would be probably a Christmas message in some ways, but since we're in this group of messages on kings and kingdoms, we're going to look at Herod today. But I thought, try to get a jump on the commercialism of Christmas, although I saw one this week already. But in this one verse here we have King Herod, King Jesus, and a group of men who we've come to describe as the three kings, though they were not actually kings. But today I want to look at Herod. And there's two phrases in this first verse. Jesus was born, and the second is this, in the days of Herod the king. In the days of Herod the king. And those words introduce us to basically the Christmas story, which you would normally hear in December. A couple of things out of that verse. First is that ever and always we live in a culture, a civilization, a climate that is hostile to God's purpose in you and his continually seeking to set the agenda of your life. This world tries to do it. And this hostile climate in which we live is proclaimed in these words, in the days of Herod the king. The second truth that comes out of that first verse, that into that situation, the Lord God is ever and always pouring forth his life to birth grace into people in this world. Love, power of Jesus in us. Whether it's in our homes or in the details of our lives, in the ways that we relate to one another, the ways that we serve, the way we think, the way we give. This truth is symbolized in the words, Jesus was born, not just any time, but in the days of Herod the king. I want to talk about Herod today, the Herod of history, the Herod of our hearts, and the Herod of our times, and the Herod of our hopes. Now, Herod is not the Grinch or Scrooge. Herod is not a fictitious character. Herod was a king. He is very much like ISIS today, or maybe one of the Ayatollahs, or like Saddam Hussein, or that crazy idiot in North Korea. Herod is cruel. He is brutal. He is a man who, in the last 5 days of his life, ordered the death of a family member who he thought was trying to take over his throne, and he knew he was dying, and one of the last things he did, it was to order the death of a family member. And also in the story of Christmas, there are a lot of dead babies, but we don't talk about that much either. Herod is not a nice guy. This is not a nice story. It's actually pretty ugly in the middle of it. Herod is unable to put to death God's grace and power that rests in the child Jesus, who is also the king. He's unable to stop the kingdom of heaven being born into this world and born into Herod's kingdom. I want us to see how we can overcome the Herod spirit in our own lives, because until we overcome the Herod spirit, we are always fighting our Christian life. Now, Herod was more than a king. He was a great king. He was a power a force in the world when he was alive. He was called Herod the Great. He was great politically. He was one of the most ruthless, brutal, self-serving dictators of all time. He was born about 65 years before Jesus, and he is a consistent study of dictatorship and evil. He was an opportunist, and exploitation and expediency were the key words in his reign of terror. He always served self-interest. He manipulated, he maneuvered situations and circumstances and people to serve his own objectives, his own kingdom. And when you couple with that his absolute heartlessness and brutality and indifference towards human life, you have enthroned terrorism, Herod the Great. He was called great because he was a great builder. He built the port of Haifa, and it was developed by him. He developed and built Masada. He was involved in the massive extensions of the temple grounds so that he could gain some political favor with the Jews. Herod the Great, he's the Herod of history, and so the self-giving Son of God and the self-serving symbol of the world came into contact, and immediately you had conflict. When worlds collide, when the kingdom of God and the kingdom of man that is in you and me come together, worlds collide. It's exactly where we live today. We all have our kingdoms, do we not? We have the same kind of thing today. Everything is different, but nothing's changed. And everything is changed, but nothing's different. The Bible shows us that wherever human will gives itself over to self-indulgence and wherever human will pursues its own bridled self-centeredness and selfishness, inevitably it's going to run into trouble with the kingdom of God. The spirit that motivated Herod to leave a bloody trail wherever he went in his pursuit and maintaining his kingdom. And we all have them, don't we? They may not look like medieval kingdoms or big kingdoms in the Bible, but we all have them. Kingdoms. Now, Herod was buried in a grave in Palestine some 2,000 years ago, but his spirit is still functioning right now in our town, in our time, in our world, because it is a spirit of darkness and evil. It is a spirit of strong self-centeredness. It is a spirit of hell. It's the works of darkness, and it seeks to kill anything of God. Just as Herod sought to take the life of the child Jesus, Satan and his world spirit in any possible way tries to exploit the advantages of any situation to stop the advance or the establishment of God's kingdom in a person's life or in people's lives, like you and me too. Read with me Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 to 4. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him, and assembled all the chief priests and scribes of the people. He inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. In verse 3 of this, right here, it says that Herod was troubled at hearing this. Now, the verb in Greek is kind of interesting. It could mean he was upset over something that interrupts his day, but it doesn't mean that. It actually relates to an inner turmoil that comes when we are uncomfortable because we don't like the confrontation with values or principles that have to do with our conscience. He was troubled, and it says all his kingdom was troubled. I saw that a t-shirt on a woman one time, "If mom ain't happy, ain't nobody happy." Well, that's kind of the way. If Herod wasn't happy, nobody was going to be happy. And it happens all the time with us. It happens in us. When the spirit of the world or our own self-centeredness spirit is confronted in some way, and it makes us uncomfortable because the confrontation has to do with the things of light, the principles and the values of the kingdom of God and the Son of God, and we don't like that because we have our own self-centered things going on. And we need to recognize this in ourselves and in the world around us. Sometimes we will be very uncomfortable with values and principles that are from God because we know we're going to have to come to a decision whether we're going to stand for those principles and those values or whether we're going to stand against them. And we need to recognize that we are dealing with the same thing that happened 2,000 years ago. God is seeking to birth His grace into our world, into our lives, into our kingdom, our hearts. And we'll always find it happens in the days of Herod the king, but you can just change that in the days of Jack the king, or put your own name in there. And then times are always uncomfortable, no matter what, with anything that is of any value to the principle of the Son of God and the work of God in our lives, and it just goes against us. Anything that has substance of worth or life or purity or integrity or decency or honesty will be pressed against by the world spirit that is around us. The world system says to us this day, in this day and age as well, well, you can have your moment. You know, we have Christmas, but it's always commercialized. And boy, they really like Christmas when it comes to that, but they don't think much of it when it comes to church. And they basically, the world will say, you can have your moments of little birthday Jesus. But when you get to the tougher realities of life, you can just throw that away because then you have to do it by the world system of things in the days of Herod the king. And the Herod spirit is alive and well in this world, for there is a Herod of history, but there's a Herod that's in our hearts as well. The Herod of history we know about, but let me show you how that Herod is also in our hearts. If you name the name of Jesus as your Savior and you're in that process of making Him Lord of your life, let me make sure you understand yourself. If you name the name of Jesus as Savior and Lord, there is a call upon you to resist the Herod spirit in terms of your own integrity, your own attitudes, your own actions in this life, your kingdom. Boy, we all have them. Do you leave private reserve locations for your own temper? You know, private temper tantrums? I mean, I can identify with some of this stuff. Do you say, well, it's just the way I am, and I can't change it, and besides, I don't want to change it. And that's the main reason I don't want to change it. And the baby Jesus comes into our lives, Jesus, and He collides with our world, that spirit in us, that we all have it. And we need to come to terms with that Herod spirit in our hearts, because we become very uncomfortable when there starts to crowd in on us the implications that maybe the kingdom of God is invading the kingdom of Jack. And he wants to take over and rule and take dominion in my life. And he wants kingship in your life. Now, I hope you hear what I'm saying. Everybody here, without exception, says, we say it in our hearts, we want it our way, don't we? And something in each one of us will cry for the death of that which is of God unless we come to terms with the fact that that Herod spirit is not only a Herod of history, but it's also a Herod of our own hearts. And when God tries to seek to find a place in our hearts, in our own kingdoms, you know what? It brings us into personal implications in the days of Jack the King. The kingdom of heaven wants to invade that. You can put your own name in there. What is Herod doing? He says in his heart, I must protect my throne. That's what he's saying, and that's the issue, isn't it? It's always the issue in all of our lives. Wise men have come, and I want you to know this wise man up here, this day is going to ask you, do you protect your own personal throne, your own personal kingdom? I would say probably yes. We all do it. Read with me verses 5 to 8. They told him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet, and you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who will govern my people Israel. Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him. Wise men have come. Star has appeared. Herod has called in the Jewish scholars and he says, listen, I want you to take a look at the scriptures and see if we can find a text that serves our purposes. Where can I find a scripture to give license to what I do? Bethlehem, gentlemen, Bethlehem. If you go to Bethlehem, the prophets say, that's where you're going to find him. Come and tell me about it. I would just love to come and worship him as well. And you know, it's total duplicity. One objective was in his mind, preserve my will, preserve my throne, preserve myself when worlds collide, when the kingdom of God and the kingdom of you come into close proximity, when worlds collide, that's when the Herod spirit comes alive. I carry the message. I know that the Herod spirit may come against this message very easily. But I know it needs to be somewhat pointed and firm. You know, I know you people. I take tours in people's lives. And today I know that there are a large number of us who need to come to terms with the Herod spirit in our own hearts. When it comes to our own kingdoms, we want to rule, don't we? We don't want God trying to take over our lives. We do not want to submit to this Jesus with our lives. Now let me ask you, what private sector of your life, your circumstance, your situation, are you bound and determined to keep control of? What throne of your own heart are you trying to preserve so that you won't have to give or share or serve the larger values and the preservation of your own conscience when it comes to living your life? Of course, we all want our own kingdoms, don't we? Your own security, your own control. I expect there are marriages here today, but I've been around a lot of marriages. And the stresses between you is that each of you have a valid point in the debate that separates you and has invaded your marriage. You each have a valid point. But I'm here to tell you, you will never ever find the peace from the Prince of Peace came to bring unless he rules in your hearts and rules in your kingdom. Is it the Herod spirit in you that is the problem? Is it the Herod spirit in you which says, I must preserve my own throne? I must keep myself on the throne of my life. I must preserve myself, my self-centered spirit which drives and dominates me. And unless you get that Herod spirit off the throne of your life, you're not going to have peace. And it will be the collision of two kingdoms, the kingdom of God and the kingdom of self. The Herod spirit doesn't have to do with the spirit to suffocate Christmas as we think about it or put to death the Christ child. The Herod spirit has to do with putting to death life. The rule of God's purpose, his kingdom in your life, in any of us. It might be in your family or your marriage, or your job situation, or even a church like us. Always forever, there's a collision of two worlds that takes place. Even in the life of church, it is the kingdom of God versus the kingdom of self. And living as a disciple of Jesus has to do with confronting the Herod spirit. And Herod is smart. He is calculating. He is out to destroy the Christ child. At that point in time, he was very calculating, sly. He was secretive. You could search your own heart, but I know how deceptive we can be in terms of how we live our lives, how calculating we can be, each of us. Just to make sure that we stay on the throne of our lives and nobody else gets there, and that's when the worlds collide, when the kingdom of God and the kingdom of self come into close proximity. Are there rooms in your heart, which is kind of like a house, which you let him walk around in most of the house, but you stay out of that room? You stay out of that room. Read with me Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way of everlasting. By the way, Psalm 139 is one of David's psalms. We use it on the Great Banquet, and those of you who have been to that, you know, we use this psalm on Thursday night and Friday night, and that's part of what we use here, because it has to do with searching our hearts. The Herod spirit is not just a force around us in our culture. It is a present force within us and all of us. It has to do with our own self-centeredness, our self-indulgence. It has to be confronted in the secret of our own hearts, as well as in the outer forces that come at us from our environment. But the most important place of confrontation is always the confrontation that takes place in the secret of our own hearts, and the reason that is the most important confrontation is because of the Herod of our hopes in terms of the way we live our lives. In looking at the Herod of history and the Herod of our hearts, I want us to see also the Herod of our hopes. In the scriptures, the purpose for the search and destroy mission is to remove the hope of the Messiah. It is to kill the kingdom of God in the kingdom of Herod. Herod wasn't a believer in the Messiah, but he was a guy who knew how to hedge his bets. He's like us. Boy, we know how to hedge our bets, don't we? He tells the counselors, check this stuff out, the time and the place. And then he slaughters all the male children in Bethlehem, and it's a calculated plan to destroy a possibility of any real hope that there might just be something of God, goodness, that was going to manifest itself in his kingdom. And the hopes of our hearts and mine are the same, but they're all different. They're as different as we are because of the details of our lives, and yet they are the same because they come from the very same source, the truly valid hopes that we have. You know, there are hopes in our hearts. All of us have hopes that are not centered in our own self-centeredness or sinfulness. True hopes that we have, that get birthed to us by God. They are the desires and the dreams that we feel, the longings that we have, the aspirations, the things in you that say, I really would like to see such and such come to pass. And it can be practical things concerning, you know, the goals in your life, like family and career, or something desirable like freedom first from something that torments you. It might be something that's happening now, but it may have happened a long time ago in your past, but it's still there and it torments you. Or it might have to do with habits that eat at you. And the Lord says, you know, in the days of Herod the king, Jesus was born. In the days of Herod the king. You see, the message of hope is no matter that the Herod spirit is present, the kingdom of God will collide with the kingdom of this world. Whether it's in your heart or whether it's the situations of your life that seek to kill that spirit of Jesus in you, His grace, His purpose, His presence. The Lord is still fully aware of all this, and He comes with the power of the Messiah, but He also comes to protect that power too and purpose and allow. Read with me verses 13 to 15 of chapter 2. Now when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Rise, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt. Remain there, I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him." And he rose and took the child and his mother by night and departed to Egypt and remained there until death of Herod. This was to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet, "Out of Egypt I have called my son." You know, when I read this stuff, protection takes place. God protects that child. Not only that, but the wise men get away as well, and they're unharmed as well. But, you know, I think about this today, and especially in the last 2 weeks, all these refugees that are coming out of the Middle East because of ISIS and all that's going on over there. They have been warned, too, in their own way. Read with me verse 16 here. "Then Herod, when he saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, was in a furious rage, and he sent and killed all the male children in Bethlehem and in all that region who were 2 years old or under, according to the time which he had ascertained from the wise men." It says that Herod was deceived by the wise men, tricked. Boy, that's great. In God's wisdom, Herod was outwitted. You know, a lot of times in our own lives, that spirit in us that is so self-serving in terms of the kingdom of self can be outwitted. If you seek to save your life, you're going to lose it. But if you lose your life for my sake, you'll find it. Read with me Luke 17, 33, and then Matthew 8, 10, 39. They're kind of the same thing, but they say it a little different. Here we go. "Whoever seeks to gain his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life will preserve it. He who finds his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will find it." Now, the wisdom of God shows us this principle. The way you outwit that Herod spirit is by the willingness to never seek to protect yourself, but instead to give yourself. That's the way you outwit the Herod spirit. Jesus also says that to those who follow him. He says, "Take up your cross daily and follow me." And what he is saying is that giving yourself instead of protecting yourself is a question that you will face, and you will face it literally every day. You know, we make a decision about that every day. You make a daily decision as to who's going to be the dominant king in your life. Is it going to be the kingdom of God and what Jesus calls us to live our lives, or is it going to be the kingdom of self? And that's the center of the collision that takes place. Are you going to serve your own self-interest with your life, or are you going to follow the Lord and give your life to Him? Those decisions that you make are how you're going to handle your personal relationships, your ethics, the details of the management and pursuit of your vocation, the way that you handle your money and your finances, the way that you treat other people, the way that you think about other people and yourself. All of this has to do with whether or not you're going to protect yourself or give yourself away. Friends, you can do it in the wisdom of God. You can outwit the devil, and you can outwit yourself, your own selfishness. I say it a lot, but it's still true. The difference between heaven and hell is all in the management. Who's in charge? Who's in charge of your life? Is it the kingdom of heaven, or is it the kingdom of self that's in charge? Now, there's one more thing about this story that takes place about Herod the king, the Herod of history and the Herod of our hearts. the Herod of our hopes. It concerns the fact that there were dead babies in Bethlehem. This is not a nice story. But the one baby that was essential to human redemption got away, but there are dead babies in Bethlehem. Read with me verse 18 of chapter 2 of Matthew. A voice was heard in Ramah, wailing in loud lamentation, Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be consoled because they were no more. Now, Ramah, by the way, is just another name for Bethlehem. I don't want to leave you with just that, because this scripture actually comes from Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 15 to 17. And it's the same thing, but there's more to this end of it. Let's read it together. Thus says the Lord, a voice is heard in Ramah, lamentation and bitter weeping. Rachel is weeping for her children. She refuses to be comforted for her children because they are not. Thus says the Lord, keep your voice from weeping and your eyes from tears. For your works shall be rewarded, says the Lord, and they shall come back from the land of the enemy. There is hope for your future, says the Lord, and your children shall come back to their own country. I know that there are things in people's lives, and I know that in terms of this group here, that there are some things in our lives that have already been killed. Some things that have already died in terms of some of our lives. Some things that it seems too late for. The Herod spirit has already got those things, like dead children in Bethlehem. Whether it's the Herod spirit from the world or whether it happened because of your own self-interested enthronement of yourself sometime in your past that has killed those things. And even if there is hope today that is offered, not without wailing and lamentation over the death of something in your life, but as this scripture says here, Rachel weeping for her children, she refused to be consoled. Now, I can't bring consolation to you, but God can. Because in the scripture in Jeremiah, it ends with him saying, look, the Lord says, keep your voices from weeping and your eyes from tears. For it comes back to us through the resurrection and through Christ Jesus, there is hope for your future as well as mine. And that's the good news. So it comes down to the kingdom of God and the kingdom of self. Where do you live? Let's pray. Lord, in the midst of our lives, we try to enthrone ourselves all the time. And you come to take that throne from us. Lord Jesus, come and live in our lives and let us make you king in our place. In Jesus' name. Amen.